a reading from the book of Sirach. God sets a father in honor over his children. A mother's authority he confirms over her sons. Whoever honors his father atones for sins and preserves himself from them. When he prays, he is heard. He stores up riches who reveres his mother. Whoever honors his father is gladdened by children, and when he prays, is heard. Whoever reveres his father will live a long life. He who obeys his father brings comfort to his mother. My son, take care of your father when he is old. Grieve him not as long as he lives. Even if his mind fail, be considerate of him. Revile him not all the days of his life. Kindness to a father will not be forgotten. Firmly planted against the debt of your sins, a house raised in justice to you. Verbum Domini.
Blessed are they who dwell in your house, forever singing your praise. Blessed the people whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrim ways. Blessed are they.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brothers and sisters, put on, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If one has a grievance against another, as the Lord has forgiven you, so must you also do. And over all these put on love, that is, the bond of perfection. And let the peace of Christ control your hearts, the peace into which you were also called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as in all wisdom you teach and admonish one another, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, be subordinate to your husbands, as is proper in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and avoid any bitterness toward them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this is pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, so they may not become discouraged.
Verbum Domini. Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritus tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi Domine.
Each year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up according to festival custom. After they had completed its days, as they were returning, the boy Jesus remained behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Thinking that he was in a caravan, they journeyed for a day and looked for him among their relatives and acquaintances. But not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and favor before God and man. Verbum Domini.
When we look here at the manger scene, we see the infant Jesus, the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, Saint Joseph, shepherds, animals. But there, radiating from this poor, humble manger scene, is God's love. Grace and truth has entered the world. The Savior is now here to love us, and to love us so much that he dies for us. And so Jesus now enters human life, humanity. St. John Paul II says that Jesus, the Redeemer of the world, enters the world through the family. He chooses a family to have his birth and to grow in this most fundamental institution of society. And there, in entering the family, he sanctifies it. And so the Holy Family is a model for us in Christian family living. And there are many ways we could imitate them, that we can learn from them. And so Jesus comes and he lives with Mary and Joseph. And Mary and Joseph have this great, great call to nurture and to protect the Savior of the world, something they take very seriously. And Jesus is there as he's of course begins his life with them. It's prayer. No, it's worship. This is what's happening here in this manger scene. And that's what their family life is built on, is prayer and worship. This is why there's so much unity and there's charity among them. And then, as the time goes, days, Jesus is presented in the temple, and in this presentation, they offer. This is an offering of the child for the service of God, but at the same time, the parents are offering themselves. So here, at the very beginnings, the Holy Family is offering themselves to the Father in love for him, in love for humanity. And then, you know, we see that that the Holy Family has to flee. They need to immigrate to Egypt because the life of Jesus is threatened. And so there goes Saint Joseph, taking Jesus and Mary there, keeping them safe, protecting them. And through the years, we see that Jesus is educated. Yeah, he starts off as a baby. He's a baby. No, he has to be cared for. No, he has to be cooked. No, he has to be guided. You know, he's growing. No, of course, that Jesus, as Pope Benedict XVI points out, that Jesus, of course, he has this intimate communion, union with the Father, but at the same time, he is going about human life and being exposed to human realities and human institutions, which Joseph and Mary guide him through. So he learns about government and various Jewish traditions and going about them. Learns about the temple. And then this brings us here to this gospel, Jesus in the temple. See, as we see, he's already in communion with the Father, in union with him. And he's already grown for a love of the temple through the education that has come from Joseph and Mary. And at the same time, you know, Jesus, as tradition tells us, history, that he learns a trade from St. Joseph, and this is carpentry. And what's most important of all is the unity and charity here. And that is something that we need to look at there. The Holy Family, as we look at in sacred arts and various images, you know, here they are with halos, and you know, you see them lighted up. But they lived a normal life, just like us, with all the issues, all the problems. You know, we don't hear much about the Holy Family in scriptures, this early life of Jesus. And out of all the things that we do learn from them, most of them involve suffering. You know, look, think about Jesus. He has to be born in the stable. They can't find a place for him. How do you think Joseph and Mary feel? Here they are entrusted with the Son of God, the long-awaited anointed Messiah, and they can't find a place for him. And so, you know, he's in a manger, but yet God makes it glorious. And then, you know, not long after his birth, his life is threatened, and then they have to go into Egypt. You know, they have to trust the Father. They have to trust God. And then here in this passage, Jesus is lost. And, you know, they, having known the scriptures, I mean, maybe they thinking that this was the time of his death, the time that the prophets predicted that how the Son of God would suffer. You know, so here they are, and then, but yet there he is in the temple. So you see that yeah, they had suffering just like all of us. But yet God does great things through these sufferings. And so here is now where we can learn from the Holy Family. Now, as the church teaches, is that the home is to be a domestic church where the family is nourished in prayer, where God is the center. Jesus Christ is the king of the home, where the children learn how to pray and where they are educated. And this, of course, begins with the parents and their love for each other, not loving so much themselves, but serving one another, living for one another. Well, that's what brings about grace. You know, the church teaches that the sacrament of matrimony is a source of grace for the married couple. And so this is found in imitating Jesus the Savior. Jesus the suffering servant is looking to his love and loving the spouse with the love of Jesus Christ. And so this is where parents need to be rooted in Jesus as one in him. And then teaching the children. You know, one very good thing to do is like, okay, yes, the home is to be a place of prayer, is to have the home enthronement of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, so that we can, in the home, can look to the heart of Jesus, to where Jesus is intentions and motivations are formed. Now that is good that we that we follow the heart of Jesus and that we imitate this. And then, you know, in this family life, this domestic church is learning the faith, good morals in the home before they have to learn them in school or other places. They are taught there in the home. And in so they are taught to pray as well, pray at meals, pray at night. You know, they learn about the life of Jesus, the teachings of the church. Now, this is very important here. and that the family have time together. Now, there's a lot of temptations and distractions these days, and you all know what they are. But the family needs to have just time, you know, going out to the park, having meals, you know, taking trips, you know, time together. And like the Holy Family, I mean, as we know, we're going to suffer. There are going to be crosses and trials and different types of troubles. And this of course, is always difficult. But yet, it can be a very glorious time in the Lord. It can be, just as we see of the Holy Family, it is a time of unity, of coming together and to help each other. And this is how charity builds in family life, is that when the trials come, when the issues are there, that it's a time to come together, to bond, and to help one another, and to work with one another, just like the Holy Family is. And then, you know, Pope Francis points out that what often happens in family life, and what we see, this is an example here, is that, you know, Mary has to ask Jesus. She says, well, you know, what have you been doing? Why did you do this to us? And then she says, your father and I have been looking for you. And what the Holy Father points out is that she doesn't begin with I or me or you did this to me. She says, your father and I. She doesn't begin with herself. Begins with her, with the father, with Saint Joseph. And you see, what happens in family life is that there's always the I. And the I is what brings destruction to the family, because there's where we find selfishness. You know, that it's all about ourselves now, instead of helping one another. So that's something we have to avoid, is the me, myself, and I. You know, and to serve one, be at the service of one another. And then, you know, as of course for parents, it's providing a good example. You know, of course, you know, we need the help of the Lord. We need his guidance to do this in our prayer. And this also goes for grandparents too. And there's a lot of grandparents and great-grandparents out there. And the Holy Family is there to help us, to inspire us. Now, we get many, many letters, many calls. People are always coming to us talking about their children, especially the grandparents, great-grandparents. This is my children, my grandchildren are away from the faith. One of the best things you can do is be a good example, to witness them in the charity of Jesus Christ, to communicate that to them. Being a good example means that you're doing your prayers, that of course your life is ordered in God, and he's the center of your life. No, and then your kids, the little ones, will see that this is the way they're supposed to be. They're supposed to have a prayer life like grandma, grandpa, like mom and dad. And this is planting seed. This is preaching without preaching, by your example. And this could be very effective. No, because it will stay with them. And I'll tell you a story. I've spoken this story before. I think it's been several years when I said it. When I was a little kid, like a toddler, my grandma used to take care of me. And now she was from Mexico, and she spoke very little English. My grandfather too, he's from Mexico. He spoke a little English, but she didn't speak hardly any. And I remember, just as a little guy, and then even growing up into the elementary school years, and being with my grandmas, and she was always so loving. She was always so prayerful. She'd have a rosary in the hand. You know, she'd stop and pray the rosary different times of the day. She'd read her prayer books. You know, about maybe 4 or 5 times a day, she'd do these things. And she'd just stop. She'd be cleaning or whatever, and then she would stop and pray. You know, and then, you know, she had such a warm heart, always welcoming people, just the best hospitality you could ask for. And that stayed with me. That was a seed. Because looking at her, though she never preached to me, but she preached to me through her actions. And that has stayed with me ever since this day. You know, I remember when she got more older and frail. You know, she eventually lived to be 100, but she was so respectful of the priests that came. She'd always kiss their hand. She'd always revere them. You know, and she knew all the problems in the church. No, but she was putting Jesus first. She knew that these were servants of Christ. So a good example, brothers and sisters, goes a long way. And sometimes the seed, it'll take time to come to fruition. But keep praying. Those of you especially who have children away from the church, go to the Holy Family. Give your children that have gone astray, your grandchildren, to the Holy Family. And remember that God is always faithful. God answers our prayers. And we just pray that we will live to see them come back to the Lord. But they will come back. It says, trust in the Lord. Trust in his promises. And so now we look to Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. So this prayer, I would say, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, we love you, save souls. You know, we ask Jesus and Mary and Joseph that they always inspire us, but that we, through the Holy Spirit, have the grace to learn from them and to remember them at all times. And when we are in trials and troubles, when there's good times or bad times, remember the Holy Family. And so we'll give praise to God. And we thank the Lord that he has come here, that he came here, and that he begins with the family so that he teach us how to nurture and how to build this most important entity of society, family life. God bless you all.